All right. So as I said earlier, I'm Eric, and I work for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at the CMU campus. So I do college ministry. So I have the great joy of working with college students. And not that long ago, right, our whole world kind of turned upside down because of COVID, the pandemic. And that also impacted a lot of college students. So we had a half a semester where we weren't on campus at all. We were doing kind of online Bible study. That was when the Zoom stock prices like really shot up, right? And now, of course, they're tanking now that everyone's not using Zoom anymore. We were one of those people who got a Zoom account. right, so we were doing online ministry. And then even the next semester, we came back. So we were doing in-person, which was a definite blessing. A lot of colleges actually stayed online for that semester that year. But we were in-person here at CMU and did really well. But it was still a challenge, right? There were a lot of new rules. So for a while, everyone had to wear masks in all the academic buildings, which just makes it hard to connect with people, right? You know, what face am I making at you right now? I have no idea, right? Like, are you paying attention? It's even harder to tell now, right? Is God actually doing anything? You look like you're falling asleep. and right, for like outreach and stuff, Lydia and I, we have a special outreach we do on campus where we, particularly in the summer when school is just starting, we pack up a bunch of sodas into a cooler. And we bring a bunch of red cups, you know, the red Solo cups, because that attracts attention. And then we have a great system. I yell, "Would you care for a free drink?" as people walk by. And then when they come and get a free drink, Lydia will talk to them as I pour their drink. So invite them to our Bible studies, our events, things like that. But with COVID, they were worried about people kind of hanging out too long. And so you had to have pre-packaged, like you could only hand out pre-packaged things at events like that. And so we had to hand people cans of soda and try and get the conversation in then. So Lydia didn't have the luxury of me like, you know, doing a nice slow pour while she has the conversation with them. Yeah, this is our like fifth year at CMU, so we're really practicing slowly pouring soda. now everything is obviously back to normal the past couple years. But that time kind of allowed us to actually kind of relaunch some of our events once things went back to normal. And one of the things we wanted to try was to set up kind of a weekly dinner. There was a group of interns with InterVarsity at the School of Mines, where I went to school back in the day. And they had started this weekly dinner actually during COVID, and they were having a ton of success with it. People were coming. Non-Christian students were coming because free food. Also at Mines, at one point, we were ranked the worst food in the entire country. So especially at Mines, if you can get food not from the dining hall, it's a great thing to do. I have horror stories from my time at Mines, but that's for a different day. So Lydia and I, we had heard about this, and we were like, man, we want to try that here at CMU. So we started to launch this dinner. This is our second year doing it. Every Tuesday night, we cook a meal for students. And then kind of towards the end of the evening, I give a short teaching. This semester, we're going through the book of Luke, so we're looking at the life of Jesus. So that's been really exciting. But I want to share the passage that kind of gave me the vision for our dinner. I want to share that with you today. So we're going to be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's verses 17 to 34. So I'll read it here. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have been differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it's not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this manner. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we are more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when they meet together, does not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. So if you're one of our more observational church attenders, you'll notice we read part of that passage pretty often, specifically once a month, right? It's the passage we read for communion, just with a little more of the context added to it. And so when we do communion, right, we have our little, you know, bread pieces. We have our little juice cups, about yay big. And that's very nice, right? It's very nice to grab one of those and go back to our seats. And we create space to be reflective. What has Jesus done in our own lives? What do we need to confess, right, before we take that? What's interesting about this, of course, is that this is a tradition that goes all the way back to the earliest church. Now, they might have done things a little different. I imagine their breaking of bread was not pre-broken bread. And their wine may have been a little less grape juice and maybe a little more alcohol. Right? But, you know, we're not allowed to do that in church, so that's okay. but this tradition goes all the way back. This is within, like, 30 years of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Right? Most likely, Paul wrote this letter at some point in the 60s. So this is a tradition that churches have participated in for 2,000 years now. It's one of the earliest ways that the church gathered as a community to remember Jesus. And so I read the section to our students, when Paul says, "This is what I'm passing, this is what I received, and I pass on to you." And I read that to our students as kind of casting vision for our dinner. Because what's interesting about this supper, right, this meal that the church shares, right, is that it's welcome to everyone, right? In the context of the church that Paul was writing to, most likely we had some of the richest people in Corinth and some of the poorest people, right? There are people who were slaves, slave masters, people who were free, right? You had Jewish people, right? Romans, Greeks, all sorts of classes, right? You had men and women, right? Any class you could think of, right? And they all came together to participate in this liturgy, right? In this act of remembrance of Jesus. And what makes them come together, right, is Jesus himself, right? Somehow, the person of Jesus can overcome all these divisions. I particularly think of the Jewish people and the Romans, right? The oppressed and the oppressor, right? The very people who hang Jesus on the cross, right? As Pilate washes his hands, right? And yet, as they follow Jesus, they can come together. That's incredibly powerful. And so what I told our students, right, is anyone is welcome at this dinner. Right, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, right, whether you're someone who other people would make fun of, right? You're the wrong sort of person, or whether you're the person who has it all together, right? Everyone is welcome. And I told my students, right, the goal of our dinner is for us to connect as a community and for us to hear about Jesus. And you'll notice I said, right, I want non-Christian students to come, right, which makes it really weird when you start talking about Jesus if people aren't following Jesus. But thankfully, I just told them that they're just allowed to come and eat the food, and whatever they pick up about Jesus along the way, I think, is good enough, right? And we have had students who, it seems, they come for the food, and yet they are picking things up about Jesus. They're learning about Jesus each week. They're part of a community that's trying to follow Jesus. And so this passage has really kind of stood out to me and kind of cast some vision for that meal that we started on campus. But what I think is really interesting is, right, I read the larger context because Paul has this kind of big criticism around it, right? And what Paul is criticizing is that some people in the church at Corinth got food while others went hungry, right? And so it seems kind of around the breaking of bread and the taking of the wine, right, the actual act of remembrance, there is also a literal meal. And so what's interesting, right, Paul is really upset in that it, most likely what's happening is the poorest people actually can't bring food for the meal, and the richest people bring all the food and don't share it. And so that's why Paul, you know, he's pretty dramatic about it, right? But some of you starve and some of you get drunk is what he says. That's his criticism. I don't know about you. I would not want Paul accusing me of getting drunk. But, you know, right, so I imagine this stung a little bit, particularly for those people who are engaged in this activity. But it is a reminder, right, that this meal that they shared, the meal that surrounded this act of remembrance of Jesus, was supposed to be a place, right, where all people can come together, right, where Jesus breaks down all the boundaries that divided people, including literally those who have food and those who don't have food. And Paul is so upset, right, because the church is creating this division when there shouldn't be one. Now, conveniently, right, today is a day where we're having a potluck. And so I just wanted you to know, today we share in a tradition that extends back 2,000 years, right? Now, unfortunately, I didn't time it right, so this isn't Communion Sunday. I don't even know if they'd let me give people a communion or not. probably not based on how poorly I read the psalm, but that's okay. We'll work on it. But today we share in a tradition that goes back 2,000 years. Right? We share as a community in a tradition of remembering Jesus and of sharing a meal together. I want to speak a little bit because we've been a little bit in a transition for a while now as a church. Right? We also experienced those awkward, difficult COVID years, right? And then we took on Pastor Steve's retirement kind of right at the end of that and brought on Pastor Andrew. And even just this past month, right, we had to pass a budget where Pastor Andrew is going part-time now, right? And there's been a lot that's happened for us even in the past couple of years. We're still trying to figure it all out. We're still navigating it all. And yet, right, we're still a community that comes together once a month, right? And we celebrate a meal. In fact, we're really on top of it. We celebrate two meals, right? We have the Communion Sunday, and then we also have our potluck. Unfortunately, communion's a little bit too small of a meal for me, but, you know, right? I'm too young to cut that many calories, right? I want us to remember today as we go, just to have a potluck, right? Even though it's just something fun, even though we're having Italian food or whatever the theme is each week, right? We actually gather, right, because we are a community that celebrates Jesus each week. Right. Some of you have been following Jesus longer than I've been alive. congratulations, I guess. but right, Jesus has changed our lives. Right, some of you have been a part of this church maybe almost as long as I've been alive. Right, and yet each week, each month, right, we come together. We remember Jesus. We remember what he's done in our lives, in the lives of this community. We share a meal together, which often for me involves talking with Marie about the Broncos, so I always look forward to that. Right, but it's actually a time for connecting with one another and to remember what Jesus has done. So even as we continue dealing with the transition, even as we're finally maybe seeing some things right, settle down, as Pastor Andrew brings and the elders bring their initiatives as we're ramping up to things, I just want you to know right, that I'm thankful for a community where we come together, where we celebrate, where we get to know one another, and where we remember Jesus. And that's what we're going to do in just a few minutes. With Italian food, carbs. Yeah. again, I'm filling in for Pastor Andrew on a potluck day, which means I have the responsibility of also praying for our meal. So I'm going to pray to kind of wrap up this sermon, and we're going to pray for our Italian food, okay? So join me. Jesus, I thank you for this community. I thank you for all that you have done in our lives individually and in the life of this community. I thank you that you're still at work here, that you're still present here. I thank you that we come together each week to honor you, to remember you. And I pray that you would continue to make your presence known to us as Living Hope Church. And Jesus, I pray over our potluck. Even in some ways, as silly as it sounds to say a potluck goes back to 2,000 years, we just commemorate this. That's a tradition of remembering you, that the church has shared a meal for 2,000 years in honor of you, Jesus. And today we do the same, that as we come together as this community, we honor you, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. Will you just bless this meal, bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.